Hey, what's up, guys? You're now listening to Devo with Uncle Theo. Today is day 136, and we're going to cover 1 Chronicles chapters 14 through 16. Last time we left off, we broke down how God is showing you how he's gotten the right king, the right person in David. He's gotten the right place where the temple will be in Jerusalem. We talked about the mighty man, and then we ended up with Uzzah with the lesson taught to David of not transporting the ark improperly, which resulted in Uzzah's death. Now today we'll pick up in chapter 14 as we'll get a recap of David's house being enlarged and him defeating the Philistines. Verse 1 says, "Now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David with cedar trees, masons and carpenters to build a house for him. And David realized that the Lord had established him as king over Israel and that his kingdom was highly exalted for the sake of his people Israel. Then David took more wives at Jerusalem, and David took the father of more sons and daughters, and the names of those children are listed on throughout chapter 7. And remember, no one could defeat the Philistines. In verses 8 through 17 shows how David was able to accomplish this. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all Israel, all the Philistines went up in search of David. And David heard of it and went out against them. Now the Philistines had come and made a raid in the valley of Rephaim. David inquired of God, saying, 'Shall I go up against the Philistines, and will you give them into my hand?' Then the Lord said, 'Go up, and I will give them into your hand.' So David defeated them there, and David said, 'God has broken through my enemies by my hand, like the breakthrough of rivers.'" Verse 13, it says, "The Philistines made yet another raid, and David inquired again of God, and God said to him, 'You should not go up after them. Circle around behind them. Come at them in the front of the poplar trees. Then you should go out to battle, for God will have gone out before you to strike the army of the Philistines.' David did just as God had commanded him, and they struck down the army of the Philistines from Gibeon, even as far as Gezer. Then the fame of David went out into all the lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him on all the nations." And you just see how, just like God had been fighting for Israel the whole time, he's fighting for David. And David has basically become a representative for God, and people respect him and fear him mightily, and his fame has increased. This same terminology was used of Joshua. We move into chapter 15, and we finally successfully get the ark to Jerusalem. Chapter 15, verse 1 says, "Now David built houses for himself in the city of David, and he prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched a tent for it. Then David said, 'No one is to carry the ark of God but the Levites, for the Lord chose them to carry the ark of God and to minister to him forever.'" He understands. He gets it. He learns his lesson. And obviously, we've talked about this several times. Those Philistines, those Levites who were responsible for the tabernacle were Kohath, Gershon, and Merari. And they're listed here in chapter 15 as well. And David called for Zadok and Abiathar the priests and for the Levites. So David calls for the two priests at the time, and they both served simultaneously under David's reign. Zadok served in the tabernacle in Gideon, and Abiathar served in Jerusalem. But as we read through 1 Kings chapter 2, we know that Zadok eventually takes the reign of this office. And so the priests were to consecrate themselves to bring the ark of the Lord God of Israel to the place that I prepared for it. "Because you did not carry it at first, the Lord our God made an outburst on us, for we did not seek him according to his ordinance." So the priests and the Levites consecrated themselves to bring the ark of God to Israel. The sons and the Levites carried the ark of God on their shoulders with the poles their own. Moses had commanded according to the word of the Lord. And so we remember this story, right? They bring the ark back, and this chapter closes out highlighting it. David wore the ephod of linen. You remember we learned about the ephod and the Urim and Thummim. And verse 28 says, "Thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting, with the sound of the horns, with trumpets, with loud sounding cymbals, with harps and lyres. It happened when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out the window and saw King David leaping and celebrating, and she despised him in her heart." We remember that story. She actually called him out, saying he was shaming himself. And he basically rebukes her and continues celebrating and worshiping the Lord. And that leads us into the famous chapter of chapter 16. And we'll end here. Verse 1 picks up by saying, "And they brought in the ark of God and placed it inside the tent, which David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. When David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. He distributed to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread and a portion of meat and a raisin cake. And he appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the ark of the Lord, even to celebrate and thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. And David assigns Asaph and his relatives to give thanks to the Lord." And this is where our psalm of thanksgiving comes in. I won't read this entire psalm, but it starts in verse 8 by saying, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Speak of all his wonders. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his wonderful deeds which he has done, his marvels and his judgments from his mouth." And you just see beautiful theology flowing from this psalm. And we've seen this several times before. You'll see Hannah break out in beautiful theology, and Moses and David, and the list goes on. But we finally have the ark moved correctly. And now that the ark is there, you have the presence of God there. And now that you've listened to God correctly and followed his instructions correctly, guess what you can have? You can have his presence. And when you have his presence, guess what you can have? You can have worship and thanksgiving. And that's the point of 1 Chronicles 16. And we just have to stop here in 1 Chronicles 16 and put the brakes on. This material is used and drawn from many times in the Psalms. And many Psalms come from 1 Chronicles 16. It's the basis for Psalm 78, Psalm 96, Psalm 105, Psalm 106. It's just a very rich and beautiful psalm. As you can see, it emphasizes things like calling on his name, sing to the Lord, meditate on all he does, worship him in the name of his holiness, rejoice in all these things. And so here is what it really emphasizes. It shows that his chesed, his loving kindness, endures forever. And this helps us because remember that chesed, that loving kindness, was highlighted to us first and foremost, when we saw that emphasized to us the most for the very first time, when Israel sins with the golden calf in Exodus 32, and they should be destroyed. And God tells them the only reason that you're not being destroyed is because of this one word here, chesed, loving kindness, which is the New Testament word for grace. And not only were you not destroyed, given mercy, you're here where you are today to worship me, do life with me, and give thanks to me. That's grace. Not only do you not get what you deserve, mercy, you get what you don't deserve. Unmerited favor, grace. So Psalm 96 picks up on this phrase, not just sing a song, but sing a what? A new song. And so the word new is going to become very important for theology. Because remember, God is trying to bring Israel back to Eden. And so in this journey of getting rest, they will sing a new song because they will become what? A new creation. So 1 Chronicles 16 says, "Look at God's care and his love for us. Now that the ark is moving in, God has been faithful all the way from Abraham." We've looked at all of that, all the way through the wilderness period, all the way up to now. This is chesed, and it endures forever. And we will get to sing a new song as well when all of this is fulfilled forever. I look forward to singing a new song with you all when our redemption is finally fully fulfilled in glorification in Jesus Christ. But until then, we keep trucking, growing in sanctification, and going from glory to glory, conforming into his image, because he's a good God and he cares for us. You guys take care and catch you next time.